Russia threatens Poland with missile strikes. T-Alert owners get a seat on the insolvency board. And military UAV pilots face a new form of PTSD. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, August 18th, 2008. A Russian general says Poland's agreement to allow U.S. missile defense systems to be placed on Polish soil actually increases Poland's exposure to such an attack. General Anatoly Nogowitsyn, Russia's deputy chief of staff, told the Interfax news agency, quote, "Poland, by deploying, is exposing itself to a strike, 100%, unquote. The warning is especially chilling given that Russia has fired ballistic missiles into the former Soviet state of Georgia in support of its occupation there. Russia says it's not buying the idea that the missile defense system is aimed at defending U.S. allies against missile attacks from rogue nations such as Iran. Russia says the system is intended to neutralize its own nuclear missiles. Ricky Ellison, president of the Missile Defense Advocacy Alliance, notes regarding the Georgian conflict, quote, "The use of ballistic missiles by Russia in this conflict sends an endorsement, propelling countries and terrorist organizations to develop, purchase, and continue to proliferate ballistic missiles. This outward military aggression with the use of ballistic missiles from Russia on a former USSR country sends a very serious message to all former members of the Soviet bloc, especially Poland," unquote. A group of T-Alert engine owners has convinced a German court it deserves a spot on the 7-member committee administering the engine maker's insolvency. The owners of the Centurion turbo diesels organized as the T-Alert Engine Owners Group, or THENOG, after the company ceased operations in May, issued what the group terms multiple and unnecessary airworthiness directives, then jacked up parts prices required for maintenance. Operation of the affected planes, including many Diamond aircraft, became economically prohibitive, effectively grounding the fleet. Dr. Todd House, president of YourJet LLC, an air taxi company in Louisville, Kentucky, which operates a Diamond DA-42, is on the board of THENOG. Quote, "Through our advocacy on the creditors committee and our legal standing with the German insolvency court, we can accelerate the process of bringing relief to owners of aircraft that use T-Alert engines," unquote. The international law firm of White & Case represents the group in the insolvency proceeding. The growth in the use of unmanned aerial vehicles to launch deadly attacks is producing a new form of post-traumatic stress syndrome. The Associated Press reports the Air National Guardsmen who operate Predator drones over Iraq via remote control, launching deadly missile attacks from the safety of Southern California 7,000 miles away, work in air-conditioned trailers, observe battlefields through video monitors. They then return to their homes and families at the end of their shifts. The problem is what they see at work. Colonel Albert Imar is commander of the 163rd Reconnaissance Wing and has a BS in psychology. He observes that in a fighter jet, quote, "When you come in at 500 or 600 miles an hour, drop a 500-pound bomb and then fly away, you don't see what happens," unquote. But in a Predator attack, the pilot has a high-resolution view of the aftermath. Compounding the problem is that the military often orders Predators to linger over battlefields to assess the effectiveness of the attacks. Imar adds that the stresses are, quote, "causing some family issues, some relationship issues." He declined to elaborate, but said the issue so far involved a small percentage of operators. NASA says it will reconsider its decision to source spacesuits for manned missions in the upcoming Constellation program from Oceaneering International Incorporated of Houston. The decision follows a successful Government Accountability Office challenge by Exploration Systems and Technology Incorporated. NASA had awarded the contract on June 12th. The spacesuit will protect astronauts during voyages to the International Space Station and, by 2020, the surface of the Moon. NASA needs suits which can protect astronauts during launch and landing from problems such as cabin leaks, support a week's worth of moonwalks on short trips to the Moon, and last through longer lunar outpost missions of up to 6 months. There was no suggestion that the reconsideration will delay the program, scheduled to see its first launch in 2015. Up next on ANN, fuel surcharges are causing a decline in air cargo. NASA delays the launch of its Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, and the NTSB offers details on a midair involving two gliders over Texas. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 18th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. As air cargo rates have risen along with fuel prices, the aviation branches of shipping giants FedEx and UPS report their business volume is slipping. Oregon's Portland Business Journal notes that air shipments through Portland International Airport have fallen off over the past 3 years. FedEx currently charges customers a 20% fuel surcharge on all air shipments and will soon raise it to 34.5%. In response, shippers of non-time critical items are increasingly choosing ship, rail, or truck in exchange for a lower freight bill. That's bad news for the airport, PDX, and presumably for other airports as well. FedEx reports cargo shipments through the airport have declined 3.6% through June. UPS says it's down 4.4%. The ripple effect is hitting smaller freight companies that handle regional deliveries for the bigs. NASA's Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter was originally scheduled for launch this December. Now, at the urging of United Launch Alliance, which builds the Atlas V rocket to be used in the launch, NASA says it will postpone the launch till February 2009, swapping slots with the scheduled launch of the U.S. Air Force's prototype X-37B reusable satellite, which will be ready first. NASA spokesman Gray Hotaluoma told the Associated Press the delay gives the agency some breathing room to ensure the LRO's success. The delay will cost NASA about $7 million a month. The $491 million orbiter's primary mission is to circle the moon's poles, mapping the surface for a suitable landing site for a future manned mission. A small impactor probe will also be launched toward the lunar surface to measure for signs of water. While the decision precludes hitting President Bush's 2008 deadline to have a robotic spacecraft orbiting the moon, NASA says it's still on track to return astronauts to the lunar surface by 2020. The National Transportation Safety Board has updated details on the recent mid-air collision between two gliders that destroyed one aircraft and injured its pilot. The board reports that during a glider competition on August 9th at 3:32 p.m. Central Daylight Time, the pilot of a Shemp Hirth Ventus 2A glider followed two other gliders into a thermal, but lost sight of them after completing two turns. Shortly afterward, its left wing and winglet hit the right wing of an AB Sportline Aviasia Genesis 2 glider, 4 miles north of Brackettville, Texas. The pilot of the Genesis 2 reported being in a stabilized 55-degree bank when he heard a loud bang, suddenly went inverted, and had to bail out of his craft. He told the board he was struck in the neck on the way down by debris, and despite successful deployment of his chute, sustained serious injuries in a hard landing. The pilot of the Ventus 2A was able to make an uneventful landing in the plane. NTSB says visual conditions prevailed at the time of the accident. A probable cause report is expected in about a year. NASA's Phoenix Mars lander has sent researchers on Earth a microscopic image of a single particle of Mars dust. The particle was shown at a higher magnification than anything ever seen from another world. It's about 1/1000th of a meter in diameter. The dust that cloaks Mars is what makes its sky appear pink, feeds the storms that regularly envelop the planet, and produce Mars' distinctive red soil. The atomic force microscope can detail the shapes of particles as small as about 100 nanometers, or about 1/1,000th the width of a human hair. Researchers say Mars ultrafine dust is the medium that actively links gases in the Martian atmosphere to processes in Martian soil, and it's critically important to understanding the planet's environment. Still ahead, it turns out that Obama flight was an emergency after all. The victim of an air crash 60 years ago is finally ID'd, and Bonhams prepares to auction a rare warbird. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, August 18th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Last month, the FAA assured reporters there had been no emergency when a Midwest Airlines MD-81 chartered for Illinois Senator and Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama encountered turbulence, followed by crew reports of difficulty controlling the aircraft in pitch. As ANN reported, the crew regained full control authority as the plane descended out of 10,000 feet and was able to bring the plane in for a routine landing at St. Louis. The NTSB later found the aircraft's aft tail cone emergency slide had partially deployed and chafed against the elevator control cables. The FAA initially made a point of stating there was no emergency declared in the incident, but it now appears the agency was downplaying the event. Air traffic control recordings obtained by ABC show one of the plane's pilots declared an emergency 41 seconds after first telling controllers of the problem with limited pitch authority. ANN has reviewed the recordings, and the pilot displayed an impressive professionalism and calm in relaying the news to his passengers. Human remains from a 60-year-old crash site in Alaska have finally been identified. In this case, DNA analysis and advanced fingerprinting techniques appear to have finished the race in a dead heat. The Associated Press reports 36-year-old Francis Joseph Van Zandt of Roanoke, Virginia, was among 24 merchant marines and a crew of six on board Northwest Airlines Flight 4422, a DC-4 that crashed into a glacier on the side of Mount Sanford in 1948. The men had just delivered an oil tanker to Shanghai, and the plane was thought to be returning to New York with a load of gold. Two pilots, Kevin McGregor and Mark Milliken, discovered the wreck in 1997. 2 years later, while searching for artifacts to allow identification of the plane, they found a severed, mummified arm and hand. Alaskan state troopers took a set of fingerprints, then embalmed the limb. Database searches never turned up a match for the prints because they weren't clear enough. DNA analysis was unsuccessful because the tissues had become dehydrated. In 2006, Dr. Odile Laurel at the Armed Forces DNA Identification Lab in Maryland developed new methods that allowed her to read the mitochondrial DNA, raising the possibility of a match through the female lineage of the victim. In a parallel search to match the prints, Edward Robinson, a professor of forensic science at George Washington University, used a newly developed rehydrating solution and special imaging techniques to produce a completed set of usable fingerprints. Last September, the prints were finally matched with records at the National Marine Center in Arlington, Virginia. Laurel was able to confirm the finding with nuclear DNA from a nephew of Van Zandt's about the same time. Scientists say this is the oldest identification of fingerprints by postmortem remains ever. And thanks to the relentless work of researchers, one more decades-old family mystery has been solved. Bonhams, the British auction house, is getting set to sell one of the last four remaining Sea Hurricane airplanes in existence. The 1941 Hawker Sea Hurricane 12 will be offered for sale without reserve at Bonhams' annual Goodwood Revival auction on September 19th, where it's expected to fetch between $55,000 and $93,000. The plane was rescued from Canada by AJD Engineering in 1989 and bought a short time later by the current owners, who've not been able to restore it. Fully restored, the Hurricane would be worth in excess of $3.7 million. A restored Hurricane must be proved to be 100% genuine to be CAA registered. This plane is genuine and was already registered as GBRKE 20 years ago and retains its original data plate. The first production Hurricane flew in October of 1937. The Sea Hurricane being auctioned was built by Canadian Car and Foundry, part of a batch of 79 sent mostly to Russia, although a few were held back as trainers. This aircraft is one of those. Find out more at bonhams.com. That's bonhams.com. And finally, if you dread getting an airline seat next to a crying baby or rambunctious small child, you're apparently in the majority. A new poll by airfarewatchdog.com asked, quote, "Should airlines have a section of the plane reserved for parents with babies and smaller children?" unquote. 10,170, or 58% of the respondents, answered, "Yes, they should have done this long ago." 27% answered, "Yes, but they never will, and it'll never work." Only 15% answered, "No, this is a bad idea." Air Transport Association spokesman David Castlevetter tells the site, "Children-only sections would be logistically difficult to implement." Website creator George Habaka adds that it would not protect the most egregious problem kids from risking removal from flights. So, what can you do? AirfareWatchdog.com recommends adult passengers bring a good pair of noise-canceling headphones and sit either in the first of two exit rows available or in the row ahead of an exit row, where the increased legroom may prevent the short-legged from kicking your seat. Depart at 5 or 6 a.m. when possible, when families with kids find it hard to travel. The site also recommends speaking up to the guardian of the offending child or to a flight attendant if that doesn't work, or even ask to be reseated. If the situation is acute and only business or first class is available, ask to be upgraded. As a last resort, Habaka says, quote, "Start wailing, kicking, and screaming yourself," unquote. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in my weekly talk with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, Bob tells us why you should have a heart-to-heart talk with your flight instructor before you go for your aero medical exam. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.